Dr. Clay Hershaw is an associate professor of health and physical education and sports studies at WSSU. Since 2012, he has served as a program coordinator of the Motorsports Management major. His research interests are in motorsports marketing, risk management, and competitive balance. He serves as the editor of the International Journal of Motorsports Management, an academic journal serving academics and practitioners in the motorsports industry. Additionally, he has served as the coordinator of the Diversity in Motion Initiative, a program to introduce careers in the motorsports industry to underserved youth. Our next guest, Delandu Winadu. Delandu is a NASCAR pit crew tire changer. She has done the Xfinity and Truck Series, a former D1 student athlete at the University of Miami, where she played soccer. She's currently working towards earning a master's in economics with a concentration in financial economics. Our third guest, Raja Karuth. He made the 2019 NASCAR Drive for Diversity Youth Combine and then the NASCAR Drive for Diversity Youth Driver Development Program. As part of this program, he raced the U.S. Legends car in the Bojangles Summer Shootout with Rev Racing and AK Performance, accumulating two top 10s and two heat wins, and ended up 13th in the final point standing. After a couple of top fives at the Fall Series, the fifth mile at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, he made the 2019 NASCAR Drive for Diversity Combine in Daytona Beach, Florida. Following that, he was selected to be part of the 2020 NASCAR Drive for Diversity program. This year, Roger has been racing a late model stock for Rev Racing in the NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series and a Legend car at the Summer Shootout. In Legends, he racked up eight top 10s and ended up sixth in the final shootout standing. In late model stock, he went from running in the back of the field in his first race at Hickory in June to being in the top 10 consistently, now running up front. With three or four more races left in late model this year, he is poised and motivated to get his first win of his career. Roger is currently a freshman at Winston-Salem State University pursuing a bachelor's degree in motorsports management. My last guest, Walter Thomas III. Walter Thomas III is a native of Indianapolis, Indiana. Walter's young career in auto racing began at the age of four. Walter raced INEC's Bandoleros, where he scored a victory, which led to the opportunity to be a national qualifier. He was also the first African-American to win the Outlaw Track Championship at the Indianapolis Speedrome. With that success, Walter moved to INEC's Legends Cars. Walter was recognized as the INEC's Asphalt State Champion during that run. And at the start of the 2012 season, he received the NASCAR Diversity Young Driver of the Year Award in Daytona, Florida. This award is a great honor, considering that NASCAR reviews candidates from all over the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. In his first season competing in INEC's Legends, Walter finished second in points in the Young Lions division at the Indianapolis Speedrome. Walter has currently been racing in late models for the past 4 years and is looking to take his career to the next level by competing in the CRA Super Series and also getting back to his roots and competing in sanctioned NHR drag racing events. Walter's success and work ethics extends into the classroom, where he was a Dean's List student at WSSU before earning his bachelor's degree in motorsports management this past May. That's a mouthful for everybody. Welcome to Future Focus. I am so excited to have everybody on this show. I wish I was there with you. I need an autograph from the three of you. Clay, I don't need your autograph, but you work at the university, but I need these three. I need your autograph. Can I send a jacket to you, get you to sign it or something like that? And can you get it back to me?
I don't want them hats, man.
See, Walter, see, Clay, I knew he was going to be trouble. Now, I want you to keep him in check. See, he's an old head, graduated. Congratulations on the graduation, Walter.
Thank you, sir.
I remember when you came, there's a lot of fanfare about you coming and being here at the university and being, you know, in NASCAR, being racing and stuff like that. You graduated. Congratulations on that. And then we have the new kid on the back on the block, Roger Carruth. Roger joins us this year as a freshman. Welcome to Winston-Salem State University. We're glad to have the two of you here. And then, Delandu, we're glad to have you as well in terms of being in the pits, NASCAR pits. We'll get to you. Hang on, hang on. We'll get to the three of you. Let me have a chat, first of all, with Dr. Harshaw. Clay, tell us a little bit about you, your role at the university, and a little bit about the sports motor program.
Well, what I do is I teach the motorsport management courses and help develop the field experiences for the students, because that's one of the big things for us is the number of field experiences that we do. Throughout a semester in, you know, normal race seasons, we're able to go to 3 to 4 events each semester, and we have relationships with teams, tracks, and sanctioning bodies where students can get some hands-on experience and do job shadowing during events. And that's a big part of what I do is help coordinate that to get students involved in programs where, you know, they can kind of do some job training experience just to learn more about that field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you think about Winston-Salem State University, you don't necessarily think about motorsports, but people should. Tell people why they should think about Winston-Salem State and motorsports. That's because of Bo McGray, right?
That's right. My office actually looks out over Turn 4 at Bowman Gray Stadium, which is the oldest continuously running NASCAR sanctioned track. We've got a lot of history here with Bowman Gray. Depending on which source you looked at, it's one of the locations where Big Bill France, in the early days of NASCAR, did a little bit of union busting with the drivers. He decided that he didn't want drivers unionizing. So as a driver himself, he was going to be able to join the union, but he also ran NASCAR. And one of the events where they were trying to form the union was being held here at Bowman Gray. And so he went into the meeting and said, I want to join the union. And can't really have management joining the labor union at the same time. But yeah, a lot of history. Richard Petty's raced here, the Allison brothers. So we've got a lot of history and the connection with NASCAR right here at Bowman Gray.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And not many of our listeners might not be aware that the rich history of Winston-Salem State University and NASCAR and Bowman Gray. People might not realize that we play our home football games in Bowman Gray stadiums. It was listed as one of the top venues for college football in Division II last year. Great place to play football, great place to race. And so I want folks out there to know that there's a huge, big, rich history with racing and Winston-Salem State University.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to renovations that are in the works to the stadium and seeing what new things they bring to the stadium for the football team and for the racing program.
I mean, look, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, the city, Winston-Salem, has committed over $10 million to do a great facelift to the stadium. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking forward to that as well. Some great, great, great times ahead. We're going to get into a little bit later. We'll talk about some of the changes that are happening in NASCAR and how Winston-Salem State can be a part of that. There's a big push in NASCAR, certainly for diversity. Talk a little bit about the big announcement from Michael Jordan a little bit later. Maybe even get into a little Bubba Wallace a little bit later as well. But first, I got to bring to the forefront my first year student, my freshman student, Thomas. Walter, I get to you a little bit later. So you just sit tight. Let's bring in Roger for a moment. Roger Carruth You come, man, great deal of fanfare. I'm reading about you in the paper, your decision to come to Winston-Salem State. People are writing and talking about you. Tell us about your journey and how you got here to Winston-Salem State.
Yeah, you know, one of the main reasons I got put on to Winston-Salem State was from Walt, and he really put me on, like, probably a couple of years ago now. I was around like sophomore, junior year in high school, and I didn't really know what I was going to go to, where I was going to go to school, if I was going to race or not. And so the next year, you know, me and Dr. Harshaw at Bowman Gray, and really just setting things in motion, you know, it was a great fit for me, not only this program, but being in HBCU as well. It just seemed like a really good fit for me, and red's my favorite color too. So, you know, it seems pretty good.
I love that, man. Great answer, man. You're great. So Walter, so how did you recruit it? Did you recruit him? How did that come about?
Man, I think he DM'd me later on, telling me he got into the draft diversity program. But I think Dr. Harshaw had told me that he had, I think he got a message or something from Roger that he was coming. I was, oh snap. I was okay. So we get some more race car drivers up in here. I'm liking this.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm going to get back to your career in just a moment, but I'm going to bring the Landu. Did I get that right? I'm close, right? Say I'm close. All right. So you're a soccer player at Miami, and I'm reading here that you ended up working on a pit crew. So how did that come about?
All right. So the NASCAR as a program, the Drive for Diversity, pit crew development program, and they recruited me on campus. They were looking for student athletes who would be interested in working in NASCAR as a pit crew. And so I decided to try out on campus, and then they called me back to do the combine in Charlotte, the national combine. And I guess I did well. And then the NASCAR driver for diversity invited me to just like join the program and live in Charlotte after graduation. And so I gave that a try. And so far it's working very well.
Well, did you know what you were getting into? I mean, you're a soccer player. So, I mean, how did you get interested in NASCAR?
Well, when I've tried out, I didn't know much about it.
What do you mean when you try it out? What are you trying out for?
Curiosity. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do after graduation. Like, I could have been playing pro overseas back home in France, but I wasn't sure this is what I wanted to do. And then the NASCAR opportunity came around, and I was like, this is something I could be interested in. So I did try out.
I hear the accent. So you're from France. That's home for you. Now, when you're trying out for something, what did they tell you you were trying out for? If you're in a pit crew, right? Mm-hmm. What were you trying out for, and what did you have to do?
Well, the pit crew, the coach Horton told me I'm probably going to be a tire changer. And so right before the tryout, I typed on Google NASCAR pit crew and I see videos. And I was like, oh, that's what it is. And from there, like, once I knew I was going to Charlotte to the national combine, I started doing a lot of research, watching races, watching pit crews. So that's been a journey, but I'm someone, I love like discovering new things, discovering new place. And so NASCAR has been great so far for me.
Well, look, fantastic. Fantastic. Then in terms of that. So my question to you, had you ever changed a tire before?
No.
I'll come back to you later, I mean, because I want to hear about what it's like in the pit. We're gonna come back. Roger, tell me in terms of that, how you got interested in racing. What kind of support did you get to encourage you along the way, and who are some of your mentors? And just take us through that journey a little bit.
Yeah, so like I got interested in racing and like just cars in general, like when I was really little. I didn't really grow up with like a racing family and people that grow up racing like in the South and stuff. So I just got attached from, you know, seeing it on TV and Lightning McQueen and getting little cars and stuff. And then it really just it wasn't really a phase. I never grew out of it. And really, as I got older and, you know, in school and stuff, that's really, racing is all I would do projects on. Whenever I had a choice of like doing a paper or a presentation or whatever, it would always be about racing. So I think like seventh or eighth grade, you know, my mom and my dad really both realized that it wasn't a phase. And so I didn't start, I would say, legitimately racing until last year. And then before then, you know, I did stuff on iRacing and did some rental car stuff before then. But in general, really, I started pretty late in terms of, in relation to drivers that are racing nowadays. You know, they start at 4 or 5 years old. But really, that's kind of how I got started. And there have been a lot of great people that have helped me along the way in the Drive for Diversity program and other people in general. You know, it's been great. I got a great group of friends and family around me.
Yeah. I mean, but if you think about getting into to racing per se, and if you look at the sport of racing, you really don't necessarily see, and you were involved in the diversity program. So I think that kind of helps kind of set the stage and set the tone. But I mean, who are you looking at? Who are you noticing in terms of being able to create those opportunities for you?
Yeah, I mean, just because, you know, we didn't have any connections really up until now. In terms of, you know, team members or local stuff to get into. So really jumping on sim racing was the most immediate thing. And through that, you know, I was able to build a brand and, you know, to not only be good on the simulator stuff, but also, you know, build a brand for myself and be able to, you know, carry business cards and go to races and then talk to Bubba Wallace and talk to Jefferson Hodges and talk to, you know, different executives that hopefully, you know, could connect with the name of the face and hopefully, you know, help me out down the line.
Yeah. And so meeting those individuals created and more increased interest, I think, in racing. So what's on the horizon for you?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm currently in the Drive for Diversity program this year. We've got, I think, 3 or 4 more races left this year in late models, and really think we could, you know, get out a win this by the end of the year. And next year, I don't really know what my plans are. You know, I hope to be back with the program and with the race team. And if not, you know, I'll still be racing something, you know, whether it's a late model or doing some ARCA Menard series stuff, you know, just trying to figure it out. You know, I definitely think, you know, on the horizon, you know, I'll be able to have a great career, you know, behind the wheel. And once I'm done, you know, I'll be able to use my degree here from Winston-Salem to, you know, be a team owner or work in racing operations or something in NASCAR specifically.
Yeah. You know, I love that aspiration. When, for those of us who don't know about racing and the language, what are you driving?
So, okay. It's like a way you could put it is kind of like, you know, how, you know, you've got pro basketball and you've got college, you've got high school ball and stuff and AAU. It's kind of similar, you know, you've got your Cup Series and Xfinity and Truck Series, and those are your national touring events. And so you can kind of treat it like a ladder system, but also you have like veterans of each division. And so, then you have your ARCA series and late models, and that's where I'm at right now. So if you were to look at it, you know, on AAU all the way up to pro basketball, you know, I would be kind of, I would say, you know, IMG Academy, I guess, type idea, you know, just hopefully in line to be in something later on.
Right. But what kind of car are you driving?
A late model stock. So, I mean, I don't know how I can show you a picture, yes. But basically, you know, it's a, I would say 300, 400 horsepower. We race on tracks like 3/8 of a mile, half a mile, in the Carolinas, in Virginia, Tennessee, you know, this around the South.
And so are you racing right now?
Well,
I mean,
yes,
I mean,
sir,
not at this moment, but
yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, we have a race this weekend, actually. We're deciding if we were going to go up to Langley in Virginia or down to Greenville Pickens. So, but we are racing this weekend. I've got 2 or 3 more left this year. We're going to go to Hickory on October 17th and then Florence on November 21st.
Right. So these cars, do they go fast?
I mean, relatively, I guess. I mean, you just kind of get numbed at a certain point. Like it's just first nature, really. It doesn't really,
okay.
We don't have.
Okay, all right. Okay, Raja, how fast are you going?
Oh, only like these cars only go like 120. So it depends on what gear you put in it too. So, and what track you're at. So not too fast in comparison to really any other form of, you know, stock car racing.
Yeah. But you're going 120 and there are other people that are going 120 with you.
People go faster than on 85. So,
look, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to come back. Walter, help me out. You're a veteran. He says he got started late. So tell me about your trajectory into the racing industry.
I ain't that old now. Hold on. Dude, man, I just turned 22.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. Go.
No, you're good. I started at 4. And I raced quarter midgets, which I'm sure you probably have no idea what that is. But it's basically like it's a go-kart that has a rope bar cage on it. And kids basically range from 4 to about, it could be really, I've seen people, like elderly people, racing quarter midgets. So it's a wide range of ages, but they have different basically sections as far as like age range. I did that for about 2 or 3 years or so.
Walter, I like the way you said that, the elderly people. I'm glad you didn't say people like you. See, that's what I thought you were going to say.
I wasn't going to do you like that.
I appreciate it, man. You know that.
And then I went to I raced junior dragsters, which is a smaller scale of the top fuel dragsters that you actually see on TV and NHRA. I raced those for about 3 years. And then my dad was more or less, you know, he was telling me, you know, you might want to go back to doing some circle track racing. And I was like, not really feeling it. But he was like, you know, I think, you know, this might be a good opportunity for you. I was like, all right, you know, I'll give it a shot. And I ended up racing INX Bandoleros, which is another developmental car for kids. And once again, I have seen some elderly people race those as well. But it was another stepping stone as far as developmental wise, and I was probably around 11 or 12 when I started in those. And then with the INX Legends and with late models and trying to get back to my grassroots, or to my roots more or less in drag racing now. I'm currently finishing up my dad's race car as of right now.
Say that again?
Finishing up my dad's drag race car.
Okay. All right. So drag racing, tell us about drag racing.
So drag racing, basically it's either 2 and/or 4 cars all go in a straight line and race in simple terms.
Yes.
In 3/8 or 1/4 of a mile. And basically whoever gets there first is the winner in most cases.
Right.
Unless you're bracket racing, the fastest car doesn't always win. I know it sounds crazy, right? But sometimes you can go too fast in bracket racing.
But they go really fast, don't they?
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of being in that drag racing. So is that your favorite, drag racing?
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite.
Oh, man, see, like speed. I love that. So in terms of being involved with the diversity program, I want to hear a little bit more about that and how that came about. Clay, do you get involved in all in that in terms of your work?
Well, what we end up doing is with the Diversity in Motion Initiative is we kind of take it to the local area, you know, going to community centers or YMCA, Boys and Girls Club type rec center during the summer and just try to let people know about careers that are up and opportunities in motorsport. They're open for everybody that, you know, aren't just for the racing side. The other part is, particularly with NASCAR, is the Driver Diversity Program also has a management side to it where they have, I think it's about 20, 25 internships each year that are highly competitive. And they're all throughout the country, really. And it gives students the opportunity to find out more about NASCAR and more about those management positions that are available. One of our alum from Winston-Salem State, he wasn't in the motorsport program. I did have him in an intro to sport management class. And I talked about the diversity program internships. And this young man had no interest in racing at all. And he applied for one of the internships and got it. And I think he spent a summer down in Daytona and had never been to a race until he got into the program and loved it, every bit of it. He continued with the internships when he was in his master's program, and now he's working with NASCAR in Charlotte for licensing. That was Greg Carty, and I don't remember what year he graduated. I want to say it was probably about 2016. Mm-hmm. I'm not certain of that, but he's been doing great work there. And that's really what I end up doing is I guess for my side of the diversity program is trying to get internships for our students. And then the other part is letting people know that we have our program. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the only public school to have a standalone four-year degree. Obviously the only HBCU to have it. And just getting the word out to folks that we do have this program. And one of the things that I've done before, and Walter's been to it, is there's a racetrack business conference in Indianapolis in December that coincides with the Performance Racing Industry Trade Show. And so, and Walter actually presented at this last December. God, it seems like a long time ago. We talk about the program and talk about things for the how we can help professionals in the industry as well.
Yeah.
And it gives another one of those opportunities for students to network when we go to that conference too.
Yeah. Walter, tell us a little bit about that experience.
That was a very interesting experience. I believe Dr. Harshaw, feel free to chip in, or if I'm telling it wrong. We had a panel, and it was more or less, I think it was the track owners at the event.
Track promoters, track general managers.
Okay. Yeah. And we were more or less just telling our story about what we do and more or less what the program itself stands for. More or less also to what we're wanting to do as far as like getting involved with motorsports from a managerial side, operational side, logistics, and of course even driving.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that I'll tell students sometimes that, you know, I think that really what you would see on Sunday afternoon with a cup race is maybe 10% of what the industry does. And that's just in NASCAR even, because there are so many jobs that are behind the scenes and so many people that are needed to put on a show on Sunday that really, you know, that 4 to 6 hours of racing that we see is just a small portion of what the whole sport is about.
I think that's a great point that I think needs to be highlighted, because when you think about racing, most of us just think about the driver.
Right.
And there's so many things going on, so many different aspects of the industry. And that's what the sports management program is about. Right, Clay?
Yes. Right. Would help students develop those skills that they need to do those things that are behind the scenes. So, you know, something like sponsorship development, business development there, you know, all those decals on the side of the car with sponsor didn't happen in a week. That usually takes sometimes up to 2 to 3 years to develop those proposals and get somebody involved in racing that way. You know, we have folks that are doing the PR for drivers. One of our graduates has been recognized by the peers in doing PR for Joey Logano. And, you know, so we have a good program, I think, where we can help students develop skills that they can use. Actually, they could use it in any industry. That's actually one of the things I've told some of my students, is that, you know, your undergraduate degree does not necessarily determine your career. I've got one student or alum who loved racing. He raced at Bowman Gray And the more he got involved in the industry, the less he wanted to work in it. But he developed skills that he could do use in any industry. And he actually worked it out to where he was able to teach high school marketing and business classes in high school.
Wow. And that's interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about the program. In terms of being in the experiences that you've had, I'm interested in where it has taken you in terms of where you have been, where you've traveled to, where you, some of the venues that you raced at. Delonda, I know that you, coming from Miami, now you're in, were you in Charlotte now? Where are you now?
Yeah, I'm in Charlotte right now.
Yeah, you're in Charlotte now. And so it, you, and being in the program and being in this sport, where has it taken you?
Kind of everywhere in America, like everywhere where there are races. I've been to like anywhere that's where there was races.
Where have you been? What are some of the, where okay. are some of the places that you've been?
It was Miami, Homestead, Kansas, Dover.
I was going to say, she's been to exotic locations. Like
okay, Georgia, I have a few of mine.
What is that you showing?
The credentials saying that.
Oh, okay.
So I can see the name, like Bristol, Richmond. That was Richmond again. Darlington, Daytona, Michigan, Road America, Kentucky, Miami, and Charlotte, too.
You've been all over the place. Take me inside. And so you've actually been in the pit, have you, and changing tires at a race?
Yes.
Okay. So take us into the pit. What is it like being in there and what happens?
Okay. So we come like 3 to 4 hours before the race. And then we set up the pit box. Then you put your box and all the tools and you get ready with your pit guns. If you're a tire changer, if you're jackman, you get your jack ready. If you're a carrier, you get the tape and everything ready. And then you glue the, since I'm a tire changer, I have to glue the tires. And so it dries before the race. But okay, then during the race, like, so you have the headphones, the radio to be mm-hmm. able to hear the crew chief and the driver. And it's really loud. It's really, really hot too. Like the tires are like super hot. Like I've been burned like in my hands a few times, but it goes away.
it doesn't just go away.
It heals. Yeah. Oh. But it's a lot of pressure too, because there's the pressure to perform and there's the time pressure. Like the car comes and it has to go away the as fast as we can do it, and there's a lot of like adjustments or like there's the tire change, but there's also a lot of like put the packer or the rubber or do adjustments.
Now what is your job? What do you do?
I'm a tire changer, front tire.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do though? I mean, yeah, you're a tire changer.
So during the race, the car comes in the pit and I jumped over the wall and I run around the car. So I do the right side first. I take the 5 lug nuts off and I put the tire aside. The other pit crew, the jackman, put the tire on and I put the 5 lug nuts on. And then I run around the car and I do the same thing on the left side. That's if there's no adjustment. If there's an adjustment, I'm going to have to put something, a packer, pull the packer out or anything. And everything has to be done around 15 seconds. And then the car has to go.
Good luck with that. Look, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is fun though, yeah.
It is fun?
Oh yeah.
Okay, all right, long as it's fun, man. You gotta have, and part of being successful is having a team of individuals, I'm assuming. That so he's not only the driver guys, but it's also the people that are working with you to help for the, you know, preparing the car, getting the car ready and all that. That sounds so exciting. That's one of my favorite parts is when they come into the pit crew. That's why I'm glad I had you on the show to try to give me some insight into what's happened in the crew. Let's get back to racing a little bit, Raja, in terms of that. You currently, you said you got three or four more races to go at the end of the season. What do you expect to happen, and what's where are the next races for you?
Yeah, so, you know, this weekend, you know, we're still deciding if we're going to go up to Langley or down to Greenville Pickens, but I've never been to either of those tracks, so it'll be really fun. And honestly, you know, I've in these cars this year, I've kind of done a little bit better at places where I've never will show up and I've never been there before. Like when we went to Florence at the beginning of September, you know, I've never seen that place in my life. And, you know, come race day, you know, I was in running in second before our motor blew. So, you know, going to whatever place we go to this weekend, and then Hickory on the 17th, that'll be 200 laps. So that'll be my longest race. And that'll be, you know, a day to night race, a stacked field. And Hickory is probably the hardest track I've raced at so far, just because of how different both corners are and, you know, how you have to save your tires and, you know, manage your race. And then on top of that, on November 21st, we're going to do 200 laps at Florence again. So I'm excited for that, along considering how good we've run at Florence this year, and really just excited for each time I'm in a race car. You know, I wouldn't have imagined I've been doing this even, you know, 2 years ago. So just trying to take advantage of everything.
Man, I mean, man, that's incredible. So 200 laps is how many miles?
I mean, I can't do math, but yeah. Hickory's like a little less than a half mile.
Okay. All right. I got you.
Florence. So however that.
I got you. Yeah. And you've raced that track before.
Yes, Florence and Hickory.
All right, and it's been good for you.
Yeah, you know, Hickory, I made my first start there. And then Florence, you know, we ran well there at the beginning of September. So it's all, I think we'll have a positive end to the year.
Wow, that's great. And Walter, your races, what are you most proudest of? What are some of the significant races that you've run in? And
I'd probably say I'm probably the most proud of winning a track championship and the NASCAR Young Driver of the Year, winning those. Those are more or less awards. But as far as like racing, Anderson Speedway in Anderson, Indiana, that was probably one of my biggest ones.
Right. And tell us about that track. What is that like, and what is that race about?
It was more or less a high bank, 1/4 of a mile track. So compared to the like some of the tracks that Raja was talking about, it's like a walk in the park, because with the high banks, you're allowed to make a lot more, we want to say, decisions and not have as many repercussions if, you know, not done properly. With the high bank tracks, you're able to do a lot more, you know, I guess have more speed in the corners than on the flatter tracks like Raja's been on here recently. Yeah. Pretty much, like I said, it's like Sunset Valley going through there. Sun's always usually shining.
Look, take me through, because I am curious. Take me through the mind, your mind inside. Take me inside of your head as you're driving in a race. Whose dog is that?
That's my dog.
All right.
Apparently, there's a serial killer walking down the street. I apologize.
No problem at all. Take me through, what do you do? How do you prepare? And when you're driving, what are you thinking about? I'm just curious.
More or less, when I'm getting strapped into the car, I'm making sure, more or less, my mind's clear. I'm trying to put out everything that has nothing to do with racing and more or less just focusing on making sure the car is performing how it needs to be. Now, when the race starts, so the pace car, the lights are off, the pace car is turning off, I'm wanting to make sure that I'm basically just up as close as far as like to the car in front of me, or if I'm out front, I'm making sure I don't jump the start. I'm just wanting to make sure I'm hitting all my marks and more or less waiting for my spotter to let me know, hey, green flag's out, and make sure I'm just bring a car home in one piece. So it's more or less just repetition over and over again, making sure I know if there's a guy outside of me, inside of me, behind me, coming up. Just making sure I'm aware of all my surroundings and just accurate and consistent.
Great. Raja.
Yeah, like I agree. You know, I guess on race day, you know, it's a normal day, you know, I'll just be listening to music, you know, kind of, you know, just like I played basketball and ran track in high school. And so I would approach it like the same way, you know, whenever it's race or game day, you know, just, you know, zoning out and knowing what, you know, you're there to do. And, you know, when, like when Walter said, you know, when you're getting in the car, you got a cup, you got your things that as a driver, you have to take care of, you know, making sure your batteries has been charged and stuff like that. And getting your belts right, getting, you know, you comfy in the seat. And, you know, when it's time to go, you know, you're not thinking about anything else. And, you know, when the race is about to start or you're about to, you know, pull out for a test or practice, you know what, you know how to drive a race car. So,
yeah.
You know, your goals and what you and your team are there to accomplish and your plan and agenda for the day in the race. So really it's just, you just do what you know how to do.
Yeah. Are you comfortable? Are you relaxed?
Early on in my career, I was a little more tense, but as I got more and more, you know, comfortable with the cars, I got more relaxed. Cause I used to not be able to eat on race days. Mm-hmm. And then I got with Rev Racing and they were like feeding us real good. And I was like, man, yeah. I can't really miss on all this food. That's around the time I start eating finally at the racetrack.
Yeah. Well, great. When those of us outside of racing, when we think of racing, or at least when I think of racing, I think that it's dangerous. And so what do your parents think about you being in this business? I think driving a race car is dangerous. I think changing tires on a race car is dangerous. I think all of that. So what do your parents think about this? What do they think to you, man?
I'll jump in on that one. Honestly, I think what DeLon is doing in pit crew can be a lot more dangerous than what the drivers are doing. I mean, she's out there with a fire suit and a lightweight helmet, and that's it. There's no roll cage around her, and cars come into the pits at, you know, 35 to 60 miles an hour. And sometimes things go wrong in the pits.
Yeah.
So I honestly think she might have it a little more dangerous than others. And, you know, and I grew up at a time, Walter's heard me talk about these sort of things. I grew up at a time where we didn't have, you know, child restraints or anything like that in a car.
No seat belts or anything, right?
We had a lap belt if we were lucky. The cars today are just built so much more safe than what they were even 5 years ago. NASCAR, through their R&D center down in Concord, have done a tremendous amount of work to make racing safer. I think for the most part, you know, the cars are a lot safer. It's an incredibly dangerous sport, and people are going to get hurt in crashes. But they'll use that information to redesign the cars so that they're less likely to cause injuries as well.
Yeah. You know, and I've read and I've seen about the technology and how the cars have changed, and they are certainly a lot more safer. So I know you guys don't want to tackle that, so I'll stay away from that particular question. But I am interested in your friends and your peers when you tell them you're a race car driver, or Delana, when you tell them that you know you work in the pits and things of that nature. How are you received by your peers, your friends, colleagues?
Pretty good. Most people think it's cool and they're like super interested in it. And wherever my friends from France, like, NASCAR is not big in France, like nobody knows about NASCAR. So I just take F1 as an example. I'm saying it's like F1, but with different cars.
Right.
But they like it, they think it's cool. And yeah, like the danger of it, like, oh, how dangerous it is. Like they have like questions and I'm like, it is pretty dangerous,
yeah.
But it's also what makes it exciting to do. So yeah.
Yeah. And I'm assuming there's a lot of preparation that goes into that, just in getting ready. And it's certainly probably a lot of coordination and teamwork and things of that nature are also part of that as well. Raja, when you tell people that you're a race car driver, how do they respond?
Yeah, you know, my dad kind of gives me issues about this because I like really don't like lead off of that when I meet people on this, be like, I like cars and stuff.
Your dad is behind you. Like, he's a race car driver. He's a race car.
Yes. Yes. And like, I just like, yeah, but I'm, yeah. So yeah, basically. And like at first, you know, my friends didn't really believe me, but when they saw on like Instagram and stuff, they're like, oh, okay, cool. And you know, that was really it. Pretty much.
Walter, how about you? I mean, you embrace this kind of stuff. You like.
Yeah, it's funny. I was kind of like Raja. It's weird. Early on, it was like not the cool thing to be a race car driver. Like, I'll say middle school, junior high, my friends used to make fun of me. I had it was one of the Bandolero cars, a small incident. I remember I came to school, told my friends, man, you know, I wrecked my car over the weekend. And they start like cracking jokes the whole week about me wrecking my race car. But when I got to high school, it was like, oh my gosh, you race cars. And it's like, you didn't tell anybody. I was like, nah, I kind of didn't want to like lead with that. Kind of wanted you to know me as a person first. And I'm like, yo, that's cool. I think around the time I went to like the first Drive for Diversity combine, the school did a story on me in the newspaper. And that's how a lot of people found out I was a race car driver. And they're like, I never would have guessed that. I would have thought, you know, you would have been one of those people to, you know, probably, you know, boast and brag about it, but you barely talk about it. And I was like, nah, I kind of want my, you know, actions and accolades to speak for it. And same way with college. I never wanted to lead with that. It was just, you know, by the way, occasionally I'll go 100 plus miles an hour on the weekend, possibly, maybe even more. So it definitely became the cool thing, and it's always a good icebreaker, I guess, now.
Yeah. That's great. And when I think about, you know, coming to college and all of a sudden you get here and you start having these conversations, and then people, you say, well, you know, I race cars. And I heard Roger say that, well, sometimes people don't necessarily believe you. But you guys, the two of you, Walter and Roger, you guys have achieved somewhat of a celebrity status. How do you handle that?
I'll definitely say in high school I felt popular, but when I got to the illustrious Winston-Salem State University, I felt really popular. People were really, I would be in class and somebody would look behind, aren't you the race car driver? Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. That's me. Yeah, that's me. All right.
So, it was. I mean, I deal with it. I'm very proud of the accolades I have had over the years. It's more or less just try to take it, smell the flowers and take it for face value and, you know, kind of go on. I'm trying to make sure, you know, I'm able to, you know, keep going and not just have, you know, well, when I was there, it was tight. It was good. Trying to make sure I always have some stuff to go along with it. So I keep myself pretty humble.
Man, that's a great approach. And I appreciate that. Delondo, these guys came to Winston-Salem State, man, they had all kind of fanfare. Raja came in before he got here, people were writing stories about him. HBCU Game Day did a piece on him. A number of folks have done a piece on about you coming to the university, you know, even before you got here. You get here, how's it been? I think it's kind of interesting for you because we're in the midst of a pandemic, so we don't have all the activity and the action that we would have had in a typical year, but how have you been received here at Winston-Salem State University?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, really disappointed, as has everybody. You know, I haven't really been able to be on campus as much and been able to meet some of my peers. And so basically, you know, for rendition and stuff and, you know, taking pictures there by the clock tower and stuff, like, you know, my group with Vaughn was our leader. And so I was just a normal kid, you know, it was cool. I mean, it was just trying to, you know, get the experience of being a Ram. And besides, you know, the fact everything's been online, you know, all my teachers have been great. You know, I've made some friends and had some pretty funny group chats in some of my classes. And so, you know, although we're in the midst of a pandemic, you know, being a Ram so far has been a blast.
Well, look, I appreciate that. In the last segment, I want to get you guys take. I'll start with you, Clay. I mean, so much of what has been changing in NASCAR and for racing and stuff. And we're right in the midst of issues around race and diversity and some of the things that are happening. And NASCAR has really kind of stepped up and say, I want to be in this space and we want to do something. Exciting news that happened recently, Michael Jordan with Danny Hamlin are going to become owners of a team, and Bubba Wallace is going to be their driver. Well, talk first of all about diversity, because I think Winston-Salem State is in a great position to really help in this way in terms of helping to diversify the sport, as we are doing here with this show tonight, having individuals here of color who are in this business as well.
I think, you know, getting Michael Jordan involved in racing is going to really change things for NASCAR, I think. You know, with Denny Hamlin, I'm sure there'll be a team that's connected to Joe Gibbs Racing as a satellite team, perhaps. So they'll have I think they'll get good equipment, which will give Bubba Wallace the opportunity, I think, more opportunity to run better than, mid-pack 20. I think most of his finishes have been in like 15 to 20 area. And I know, like this weekend with it going back to Talladega, he has a pretty good shot at doing well because he's done really well at the really big tracks. You know, it does give us an opportunity, I think, with Winston-Salem State, and because it helps us get a connection more so to a high-profile team like that. I've got a friend that used to own a team that was in what's now the Xfinity Series. He had a team. He was part of the ownership group, a man named Fields Jackson. He was part of the ownership group with Dr. J and Joe Washington. And this was back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, so we've had I guess you could say we've had a lot of diversity within management and ownership of teams, but not a whole lot of diversity in terms of drivers. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess, Walter, you might be able to, and Roger might be able to help me out with this a little bit. You know, we've had Hispanic drivers and so very few Asian drivers. There are a few Asian drivers in NASCAR, but not very many high-profile African-Americans. And the drive for diversity is helping that. Bubba Wallace went through that program. And as we can get some more drivers through it, I think that we'll see more diversity coming through. And, you know, part of the problem with racing is the amount of money that's required. And a lot of times, you know, Walter and Raja would have probably experienced this at some point of, you know, the driver is expected to bring the sponsor. And it's not easy to bring $5 to $10 million. I know of a situation, there's a man that raced at Bowman Gray, and he had an opportunity to go with a NASCAR truck team several years back. And they said that they wanted him to do it, but he had to bring $1 million to the table. And he said, look, if I had $1 million, I wouldn't need you guys. I'd already have a team.
Yeah.
And you know, that's one of the drawbacks, I think, to racing is that such a high entry investment. I don't know where – quite honestly, I don't know how anybody has the money to get into racing. But I do think that it's one of those things of corporations see the value in having a diverse sport. And they see the value of having diverse teams, and they are going to start backing drivers that have the talent to get out there and race. You know, I'm hoping that Walter and Raja have that opportunity. You know, maybe by the time Raja graduates, Michael Jordan will have a second team in racing, and
he'll become the driver.
Need a talented young driver.
He'll become a driver. He'll definitely do that. Look,
and when that happens, you know that he's going to remember Winston-Salem State University.
Of course, absolutely.
Highly.
And you know he's going to remember the chancellor, and then he's going to invite me to come and ride with him. And then,
are you going to do a ride along?
I'm not sure about that. Maybe I'm going to take that back.
I'll tell you what, I'll do a ride along with Raja in a stock car. I don't know if I want to do a ride along with Walter in a Top Fuel dragster.
No way. Hey, don't even try to do that. Delondo, don't even think about trying to get me in a pit crew. I'll just watch when the pit crew. We're almost out of time. You've got a chance. I read, Raja, that you met, or have you met Bubba Wallace?
Oh yeah, I met him for the first time, I think, 2 years ago. And so, you know, having building a relationship with him over the past couple of years and being able to lean on him for some stuff has been, you know, really important. And you know, like you've talked about, Mr. Robinson, that, you know, it's really only him up there. So, you know, to be able to talk to him and others in the industry is big, you know. And whenever I would go to races, you know, I would hang out with his guys. And so, you know, now I you know, I'm pretty good friends with some of the guys on Richard Petty Motorsports, on their road crew at least. And so it's been great to lean on him and just, you know, talk to him on not a daily basis, but, you know, if I need some advice or, you know, just, you know, ask him some questions, he's there.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I read about Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan said he'd always been a NASCAR fan. Growing up, that his parents used to take him to NASCAR races, and that's why he wanted to purchase a team. Very excited about that. I am very excited about the three of you and the work that you're doing. I consider the three of you true pioneers in this industry, and you don't oftentimes get a chance to say that in 2020, but you're setting a standard, you're a model, you're great citizens, college individuals as well. And so I just wish each of you very well in terms of your future endeavors. And I want to just thank you for being on the show. This has been a fun show for me. And I thank you guys for being a part of it.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
All
right. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And as always, we will see you next week on another edition of Future Focus Now. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.